Hey friends, this is Pastor Ron, Pleasant Grove Church. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen today. And here is some good news from the Grove.
So let's start in Ephesians 6. Let's start at verse number 10 and read all the way to 18. He says, "Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Stand, therefore. Did you get the standing message? Did you get that? Stand, stand, withstand, and stand. "Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." All right, so with the whole armor of God, we just saw the listing of it there. We're going to cover this two or three more times, so you just keep writing it down. You got it? The belt of truth. Somebody tell the truth, right? The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. How to be right with God, how to be right with one another. Shoes of the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. And notice when he said the shield of faith, he said above all, take that shield of faith. And Glenn and I were talking the other day, you know, that those shields are meant, well, if you just got it for yourself, that's good, but they're also meant to hook together with other believers. And then we got a force to be reckoned with at that point. The shield of faith, then we talked about the helmet of salvation and God saving our minds and saving us from all those mind games that the enemy plays. We've all been a part of that. We know what that's like, right? And tonight we're going to look at the sword of the Spirit and prayer, all right? So now you got it all written down there, all right? So let's get off of there. Let's go back over here. Let's go through our armor right here. We'll start from head to toe. He doesn't list it out like that in Ephesians 6, but it's easier to memorize, right? Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. Loins girded about with truth, that kind of thing, right? All right. Feet shod with gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And then he says, pray. All right, so just keep that in mind. And that's all just blessings of the new covenant, things that Christ has provided for us. And when we're putting on the armor, we're literally putting on Christ. We're living into what Paul says to live in Christ. So there's a part where it says that Christ is living inside of you. But there's also what he says the most of. It says that you're living in Christ. You're living in Christ. And I just kind of get that picture of I'm just covered all the way around. I'm in him, right? All right, so 17 says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Just want you to write that down again. Just anytime we repeat ourselves, well, I'm getting at the age. Sometimes I repeat myself because I don't remember. But most of the time when I'm teaching, I repeat myself for the sake of learning. Well, they say that repetition is the mother of what? Of all learning, they say. All right? You good over here, Ms. Bailey? All right. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right, so now we're getting into our offensive weapons. So far, we've been covering a bunch of defensive things, the things that help shield us and protect us. These last two that we're going to cover at the end of this listing of the armor, we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer. Our two offensive weapons are the Word and prayer. And it really goes along the lines. When God called me years and years ago, he said this, "You got two mandates on your life. Get people in my Word and get people in my face." That's my job, is to get you in the Word somehow, some way. That's why we do Bible studies. That's why we do the notes. That's why I do these crazy videos and all this other kind of stuff. And we have service on Sunday and Wednesday and whenever we can get together. We want you in the Word. Makes a big difference in your life. But don't just stop there. Get in God's face. I mean, you know, you could represent that with prayer, but getting in God's face. I just like that picture. I'm face to face with Him. That's the kind of covenant we've got. We can be that. All right, so two offensive weapons. All right, so just a picture of the sword right here. This is the Roman gladius sword. There's all kinds of different swords that's in their weaponry, as any army of that day would have. You know, they had the big long ones and all these kind of things, little daggers and all that. This is kind of the sword that's about 18, 24 inches long. And I'm showing you this because it's the word that he uses to describe the sword that's used in hand-to-hand combat. In this close fighting and wrestling, you know, he's already talked about that. We fight and we wrestle against, you know, this close combat thing. So this is the sword. It's the gladius. I need to get me one of them. You think we'd carry that around? I like it. So it's this hand-to-hand combat. And there's two battle fronts of this hand-to-hand combat. Two battle fronts we got to deal with. And it's on the daily now. We got to fight our own battles. We got those, don't we? I like to think about it. Jesus has won the war, but we still got battles to fight. And you got to fight from that perspective. All right, so the two battle fronts that we got this hand-to-hand combat on are fighting our own battles. We've got our battles to fight. The personal battles we have with temptation, we all got that, right? And thankfully, I'm not dealing with the same temptations I was 20 years ago, but there's a whole nother batch that comes sometimes, different ways, you know. All the doubt that comes sometimes to where we doubt, you know, the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We doubt maybe our own standing and our own confidence. Sometimes we doubt, sometimes even the care of God. We get there sometimes. That's a battlefront. Just like the disciples, you get in a good storm and the disciples are like, Lord, don't you care? And then we got the personal battle with lies. We got the personal battle with lies. The enemy always coming lying, trying to lie about God, trying to lie about who you think you are and who you are and all this kind of thing and what you're called to do, just all these things. These are our battles, right? But it's God's will for us to walk in freedom. You believe that? It's God's will for us to walk in victory. I believe that. All right? So we've got to fight our own battles. But here's another battlefront. You got to learn to fight this too. You got to learn to fight for others to win their battles. That's what we call ministry, isn't it? And that's one of the joys of life, really, to be honest with you. When you learn to fight, see, the church is known for fighting with people. But what if we learn to fight for people? It'd be a whole different ballgame, wouldn't it? And fighting for others to win, that's every believer's got a ministry they're called to. Well, certainly to your family and those that are close to you. But your coworkers and everybody around you. I mean, think about what kind of battles people go through all the time. I mean, we can maybe sometimes visibly see the physical battles and sicknesses that people are dealing with. But what about those internal battles and those emotional battles and mind battles and things like that? People are all fighting all the time around us, you know. And I've learned a long time, you probably have too, that you never know what somebody's going through. So just be mindful of that. But fighting our own battles and fighting for others to win, God's called us to that. Amen. All right. So now we've been given a weapon to help us win. We've been given two weapons. We're going to cover the first one. We've been given the sword of the Spirit. Now look at the wording of that. This is the sword of the Spirit. There's a couple different ways to look at that. This is the sword that is to be used in the spiritual battle. And this is the sword of the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit gets ready to do business, he uses the word. We don't have time to look at it tonight. I think we'll look at it next week. But when Jesus faced the enemy, it is written. You know what he was doing? He pulling the sword. Using this sword. All right? And it's the word of God or the scriptures, the Bible, Holy Bible, whatever verbiage you want to use with it. It's the word of God. Right? And we need to get better skills and drills to know how to deal with the Word of God on a more detailed, skilled level, right? And that, we're not trying to throw out any condemnation, but everybody could raise the level a little bit. Everybody could raise the bar on that for sure, all right? Now, I don't know if you remember back in Sunday school, and we didn't have children's church when I was coming up. Children's church was right in front of Mama on the second row. That's where my children's church was. With that little hand slapping me in the side of the head half the time. Anyway, that was children's church. Anybody know about that children's church? But when we started doing it with the kids, we did sword drills. Anybody ever done the sword drill? You mentioned something about sword drills. You mentioned that? About just just running through the, you ever remember the sword drills? Did y'all ever do that? Y'all never do that? Like, get the kids and just say, all right, somebody look up John chapter 5, verse number 3. Or Bible drills or sword drills. We call them sword drills. Bible drills, that kind of thing. Bible drills, is that what you're thinking about? Okay, same idea. But you know what? Just that alone, it just kind of familiarized the young kids with the Bible. And that's just so important, you know, not just to familiarize them with it, but even to teach them with the Scriptures. Now, here's a thought. This idea, he's drawing these pictures of us to see. This is a Roman soldier. Think of how familiar a Roman soldier would be with his sword. I mean, that joker's sleeping with that thing. He knows the grip inside and out. Ain't that what y'all supposed to train your boys to do, Billy? They're supposed to know their stuff inside and out. Supposed to. He would know the grip. He would know the balance of that sword. He would know the techniques on how to use it when it was appropriate. He would know how to take care of the sword. You know, he would know how to sharpen his own sword, take care of it. And he would take care of that sword as if his life depended on it. Because you know why? It did depend on it. All right. Now think if we did that with the Scriptures. Going into this battle, your very life depends on how well you can handle the Scriptures. Your victory, let's say it like that, will depend on it. And maybe the victory of your kids and family members and things like that. And how far we're going to go as a church is really going to depend on how well do we use our sword. Do we know what to do? So, here's the thing I want you to remember. We're going to cover it again at the very end. You need to hear the Word, know the Word, and live the Word. When I was on one of my trips, our teacher, he said, hear the text, know the text, live the text, and die the text, is the way he said it. Die the text. It's the idea of the teachers of the Scripture in the early days, they chose what's called a death text. That in their dying moments, these are the words from God's Word that they wanted to be speaking in their dying moments, and they would choose one. And you know, Jesus had a death text. You know what Jesus' death text was? Psalm 22. Jesus was speaking Psalm 22 in his last moments as he breathed his last. You know, that Father, that my God, why have you forsaken me? And you see several times, several little highlights that we have in the Gospels that he was quoting Psalm 22 while he was hanging on the cross. I'm just saying that's how much of the Word that was in Jesus. He not only was the Word was in him. And when he was squeezed at the most a human being could be squeezed, guess what come out? The Word. That's pretty powerful now. It's pretty powerful. So hear the Word, know the Word, live the Word. So we need to understand it. We'll talk a little bit about, you remember that parable of the seed and the sower. You remember some of the seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air, which Jesus said are like the demons that come and they just eat the seed up. Just snatch the seed up. And why did they snatch the seed up? The seed, they simply did not understand. They didn't understand what was being taught. Understanding is important, isn't it? And then knowing how to apply it. Knowing how to speak the Word. That's another thing. You know, Jesus told us to speak to mountains. And I mean, how do you speak the Word in situations, in people's lives? Need to know how to do that, some of that sword skills. Need to know how to pray the Scriptures. You know how to pray the Scriptures? I mean, there's a whole lot of prayers in the Scriptures. Of course, we got a whole prayer book. The Psalms are the prayer book of Israel. It's the prayer book Jesus was raised on. You know, we've got a whole prayer book in there already. But praying any Scripture, you know how to pray any Scripture. I mean, you run across anything and just be able to pray it into your life or into a situation or into your mind. Just got to understand how to do that. We'll talk a little bit about that, Lord willing, when we get to prayer. And know how to share the Word. Know how to share it. All right? Here's a couple of Scriptures here. Hosea 4:6. The first part of that verse says, my people are destroyed because they don't come to church enough. Is that what it says? No. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, he's not just talking about any old kind of knowledge. He's talking about a knowledge of God and a knowledge of His kingdom. Oh, there's an old saying in our world, we say, ignorance is bliss. Well, that's not true in the spiritual battle. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance will cost you. It'll cause you to be destroyed. All right? Psalm 107, verse number 20. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know what one word from God can do to you in your life? It can heal you, deliver you, and set you up for life, can't it? For eternity, actually. A couple more here. Glenn, here's some of your favorite stuff. We can't ever get away from that. That's just all good stuff. John 15. Jesus in John 15 says this, verse number 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now notice the wording right here now. If you abide in me, that's our relationship in Christ. We're one with Him. But He says, He adds another dimension to it. And my words abide in you. How do you get the words of Jesus to abide in you? How do you do that? How do you do that? You got to take some time with it, don't you? You got to take some time. I got a couple phrases. You hear me say this quite often. We believe in Jesus, but discipleship is about believing what Jesus believed and what He said and get His words in you. So it's not just enough to have our ticket punched for heaven. That's not enough. We got to get His word abiding in us. And here's the crazy thing. If you get His word in you, you get into a situation, guess what comes out? His word. It'll come to the rescue. It'll help you. All right? Here's a good practice. This is something I did years and years ago, and I was just thinking about it today. I need to start doing it again. And we may try to do something like this as a church. I went through the entire Gospels, all four of them. And everywhere, it's red letters. I made my own journal. I had a red pen on a piece of notebook paper. And I took it and I wrote out all the words of Jesus. I don't know how you are with your writing and stuff like that. If I write something, I remember it. Anybody like that? If you tell me something or I text something, nah. It's like one ear and out the other sometimes. But if I write something down, I've got like a 90% chance to remember it. Right? And what I did in my early days of ministry, I kind of took it seriously, you know, because when a king was to come to the throne in Israel's days, of ancient Israel, they were to make their own copy of the law. They were to take and make their own handwritten copy. So I kind of took that serious with the words of Jesus that, okay, you're calling me to be a leader for you. I need to make my own copy of what you said. I didn't write none of the black stuff down except when it pertained to that the red words, the red letters. That old Crowder song, Red Letters, that's one of my favorites. We need to do something like that here before too long where we just dive into those red letters. That's what Jesus talked about. All right? That's good stuff. All right? We got to get it in us. We got to get it in us. All right? Anybody before we move on? Anybody? Good? So the Word of God reveals to us a bunch of different things. It's got information in it that no other book has. It reveals us. It reveals God Himself to us. It reveals God's will, God's ways, and God's purposes. Genesis to Revelation. It's important that we know all that, isn't it? As best we can. And people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Well, some of it is complicated, but most of it's not. Now, if you're going to get into Leviticus and you get into some of the backside of Exodus and all that kind of thing, you can get bogged down in some of that. But still important. You can get bogged down. But you get into the Gospels, you get into what Jesus says, it's hard to misunderstand what Jesus says most of the time. You know what I'm talking about? All right. And if our Bible is all of that, if you can go into your Bible and learn from God and hear from God, man, that's worth the trip right there, isn't it? You think about it. I mean, we're just not left to ourselves to figure all this out and all these mysteries. We're not left to ourselves to figure it all out. God has revealed it to us. Right? All right, so let's spend the rest of our time right here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13 through 17. All right, you ready? Ready to unpack some of this? Now let's get into the idea of how we view our Bible. Why is it so important? Why is this sword so valuable to us? Kind of picking it up in the middle of the thought. It says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Okay, now again, 2 Timothy is a personal letter that Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things with which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Who was teaching him all that? I mean, he'd known from childhood the Scriptures. Who was teaching him all that? Well, in the first letter, he talks about his mama and his grandmama. Thank God for good mamas and good grandmamas. Thank God for good daddies who will take time and teach. And Timothy becomes the man that he is because of the seeds that were planted into him in childhood. So moms and dads, I encourage you, do not take for granted all that seed that you can have an opportunity to put in. All right? And see, the Holy Scriptures, they make you wise for salvation. Going to give you a particular kind of knowledge. All right? Wise for salvation. Now, verse number 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All right, I'll give you a few moments to write some of that down. And he's telling us what the Scripture is and what it does for us. All right, everybody good? You're going to get a chance to write some of this down again in a minute. You got it, Billy? All right, everybody good? All right. So he gives us two characteristics of Scripture. Two unique things about Scripture. Number one, that it's given by inspiration of God. So what does that mean, that it's given by inspiration of God? So it came from God through men. And you get this idea, you probably have heard this if you've been in church a little while. The idea of inspiration of God is the idea of God breathed. That God breathed the Holy Scriptures into being. He did it through people. And it's the idea that they were under the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit, and God literally breathed. Kind of like he did with Adam to get this thing going in the first place. Remember, God breathed into Adam and Adam became alive. Well, God breathed into these men, about 40 of them actually, throughout time and history. And he got his word to us. And the Scriptures are given to us from God. Everybody good? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so now that all by itself ought to intrigue you, to make you want to get in there. If God has given something for us to know, let's find out what it is. He says, so number one, the Scriptures are given by inspiration of God. Number two, the Scriptures are profitable. And then he's going to show us how they're profitable to us. So the idea of profitable is beneficial, right? Something that can give you a benefit. Something that'd be helpful to, something that can make you prosperous. I don't mean just in a superficial kind of way with money and all that. I'm talking about something that would be good for you in every particular area of your life that will bring goodness and increase into every area of your life. That's the idea of prosperity. And prosperity is a real Bible thing. God wants to bless His people. Aren't you glad about that? Mm-hmm. To make it advantageous or to be profitable means to be good for you. The Scriptures are good for you. All right, so let's look. You got all that? All right, let's look at the rest. So the four ways that the Scriptures make you prosper, there are four ways right here. He said the scriptures are good for doctrine. You hear that? That's kind of a church word, isn't it? Doctrine. Nobody would ever use doctrine anywhere else, right? It just simply means teaching. When people say, well, what's their church doctrine? Well, what they're really asking is, what does their church teach? So he said, scripture will help you with teaching. Teaching you what? Teaching you what is right and wrong in the eyes of God. That'd be important. That'd be important information to know, wouldn't it? And the idea is that it's teaching you in order to make you wise. All right, they're going, everybody good? Okay. That's when, are you in charge of her? You're not going to.
They're having a good time down there. It wasn't the nursery.
Okay. So why does God want to teach? In fact, Jesus, the most often thing that Jesus was called was teacher. You see the word rabbi show up. That's the idea of teacher. Okay. He wants to make you wise. The scriptures teach us how to relate to God, how to treat people. And all these stories and examples we have of people that did it right, most of these people did it wrong. The commandments we have, they're all for our good, aren't they? They're all to help us. They're helping us profit, getting good to us somehow or another. All the do's and don'ts, that's important, wouldn't you say so? All right, so it's good for teaching. The scripture's good for reproof. There's another word we need a little help with. What's it mean to reproof somebody? Or the idea of reproof. It's the idea of conviction. That the scriptures bring conviction to us. And the idea of conviction is that something is not what it needs to be, and conviction comes to make you better. Really, the idea of conviction in one sense is how we get into the kingdom in a lot of ways. That God convicts us that we need Him and that we're not living right, we're not doing right. And God comes to us, and aren't you glad He doesn't come to just put His thumb on you and doesn't come just to point out all your failures? He actually comes with conviction to make you better. That's a good thing, right? And there's a positive and a negative idea of conviction. The negative is that God helps you see your wrongs. You ever had that happen? And you feel that conviction. That's important. See, the idea of rebuke, maybe. God rebuking. Anybody ever been rebuked by God? I have a few times. All right? I've been rebuked by my mom and daddy, too, a little bit. But they kind of taught me what that was. But there's also a positive side to conviction. You've heard this idea. He's got strong convictions. You know, and we're living in a world where people don't have strong convictions anymore, hardly about anything. Right? We're living in a world that's kind of losing the idea of truth and the idea of absolute truth and all that kind of thing. And we're called to be a people that have convictions. And where do we get our convictions from? Well, the scriptures. And they put that almost that steel rod in our backbone to where we can stand. And remember, He kept saying, stand, stand. Therefore, stand, stand. Have convictions, right? All right. Third thing, third way the scriptures help us prosper is correction. That God uses the scriptures to correct us. And it's the idea of correcting our faults and our mistakes. I've got a pile of them, don't you? I mean, in my character and stuff He's still honing and shaping and stuff He's removing, stuff He's adding to. He's correcting me. He's setting things right in me, in you. That's part of what He's doing. That's part of what the Scriptures do. And sometimes that's part of why people don't like to get in the Scriptures. Because God deals with you, doesn't He? Mm-hmm. You can't stay the same. You're either going to get better or worser. Y'all know what worser is, right? But you're not going to stay the same getting in there. All right? And this idea of correction is... One example is like a doctor setting a broken bone. Why would a doctor set a broken bone? I've had several of them happen. To make it right. So that in time it will heal properly, right? And you know what they tell me? When bones heal, when they're lined up properly and they heal back together, that they're actually stronger than they were initially. Isn't that wild?
It sure hurts, though.
Oh, my Lord. You ain't kidding. And when the doctor looks at you and says, on three, one, no, you didn't get the three. And I passed out a couple times on that, you know. I got one right there. Hurts when I think about it. Think about all the places in us that's broken. It doesn't work right. Our minds don't work right. Our hearts don't function right. Our emotions are out of control, and things don't work good like they're supposed to, like they're designed. All right? And God brings His Word to us to heal us, to set us back right again. All right? To help make the improvements, replace all the wrongs with rights. All right? And the last, the fourth way, is instruction in righteousness. All right? So for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So now we're getting to, see, we're correcting some of the stuff that's not right. Now He's going to help you do it right. Aren't you glad God doesn't just leave us over here? Doesn't just leave us dealing with our mistakes and all that kind of thing. We got to deal with it, but it doesn't just leave us there. It doesn't just leave us in a diagnosed state. You know, a lot of people leave you there like that. You know, people just point out all your flaws and they'll leave you right there, staring at them. That's not what the Scriptures do. Even the prophets, when they speak, you almost always see them. They'll give a real strong word of correction, and right behind it comes a word of hope. And what they need to do to correct whatever needs to happen. You know, how crazy would it be to go to a doctor and they say, well, here's your problem. See you. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? I didn't come to you to tell me what was wrong. I came to you so you could make it right. And that's what we did, right? That's why we come. And God's going to help us make it right. And this idea of Him teaching us or training us is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus. Not just a churchgoer. Not just a decent person. Not just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you ever saw. You know, not just that guy. Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? that'd be the Dukes of Hazzard anyway. I'm sorry. All you younger folks, y'all don't know about that. Y'all missed out. But being a disciple of Jesus, that's what it's about. You don't know about that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right. And God wants to train you in righteousness, and it's this idea of training for reigning, that He's got some stuff for you to do. He's got some stuff for you to rule over. You know, it's part of His kingdom to build. And He's training you for reigning, training us to be a kingdom of kings and priests under our God. You know, you think about what He's doing with us, right? That's why He has so much patience with us. And we still got a long ways to go, right? But God is helping us do things right, instructing us in righteousness, all right? And God's end goal, we'll wrap it up with this. God's end goal is to make you complete. Complete. Fitted straight for the purpose that God's called you to do. For you. Whatever that means for you. I think that some of the old translations say to make you perfect or to be perfected. It's the idea of God making you qualified and capable to do whatever He's called you to do, lacking nothing. Now, what would a person who knows they're qualified, knows they're capable, knows God's with them, knows how to use that sword, what kind of person is that going to be on the earth? That's going to be a confident person. That's going to be a person that can't be scared off. That's going to be a person that fear can't come and intimidate. That's going to be a person the enemy can't handle. That's going to be a person like what these apostles look like walking in the book of Acts. It's going to be that kind of person, a leader. And that's what God's after in your life. He's trying to make you complete. And it's the idea of us becoming more like Jesus. Complete and equipped. That's where God's taking us. He wants to make us complete and equipped. Equipped for every good work. Whatever that is God's called you to. And to be the idea of being equipped, you think about that. Like the soldier that we're talking about in Ephesians 6. He's got everything he needs. He's got everything he needs to go fight this battle. All right? Ready, prepared, fitted out, everything you need to do everything God's called you to do every good work God's called you to do. Right? That's where He wants to take us. Are you ready to go? Are you already walking that? You already on that journey? I hope so. All right. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All right. We'll pick up some more on this next week and look at it. Now look at that picture of that guy right there. See him? Now in first century time, that's a bad hombre right there. That's a bad boy. He walks in on the scene and this business is about to be taken care of. Right? Now see that guy right there? That's what God wants to make you and I in the Spirit. Are we ready? Where is it? Where's that boy at? I'm going to help him. You see what I'm talking about? That's where God's taking us. All right, so let's close it with this. Hear the Word, know the Word, live the Word. Let's say that together. Hear the Word, know the Word, live the Word. That's important. Say it one more time. Hear the Word, know the Word, live the Word. First it comes by hearing, and then we know it. Man, I begin to understand it. It's starting to make sense. Some of this stuff's coming together for me now. Then I live it out, apply it. That's a powerful life in the earth now. All right, let's pray. Lord, help us. Help us with all this. We've got lots of battles we still got to fight. And I pray you'd help us with our sword skills. Help us, Lord. We're a little lacking in that department for most of us. Just pray you'd help us. Forgive us where we failed you in all this. And Lord, I pray you would stir up in us a hunger to take part in all of that you're talking about, Lord. We stand in need of all of that teaching and all the correction that you bring us, Lord, and all the instruction that you've got for us. We stand in great need of that. We're lacking in the wisdom department. We need your wisdom. We need the kind of wisdom, Lord, that you had when you were faced with all kinds of dilemmas and they tried to trap you in all these kind of unwinnable situations. And Lord, you had a wisdom from heaven that was able to win the day. We need that kind of thing. We've got all kinds of situations like that in our own lives. Help us with your word, Lord. Help us to understand. Give us that hunger and that heart. In the name of Jesus we pray, who is the Word. Amen. Amen.